The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I'm good, and you? And I have to say, I adore Ronnie. I love you, Ron.
Well,
but I also have to say, I'm Team Tay-Tay.
What's that?
I do like the song.
Yeah.
I do like it. Yes.
No, I think it was very, very nice. Anyway, either way, Raleen, yesterday you and I were speaking quite extensively about the interview on 702, where Eusebius Makabas did an interview on anti-Semitism. His in-studio guest, or one of his in-studio guests, was Zaki Ahmed. I sent you the recording afterwards. What was your impression?
Well, first of all, my blood pressure still hasn't calmed down from it. For people who have followed me for quite a number of years know that Zaki and I are old adversaries to the point where I actually just blocked him. My honest opinion is that it was shameful agenda pushing on his part. I think that we do not need the Zaki Ahmeds of the world to tell us what constitutes anti-Semitism. I think that the whole interview was profoundly offensive to Jewish people. I think that if they wanted to be balanced, they perhaps should have had somebody from the Holocaust Center who's a Holocaust educator, or somebody from UNISA's chair of genocide and Holocaust studies to balance it off. I do commend, I must say, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies for their input and for remaining calm, because I don't know if I would have been able to remain calm.
Actually, it's a good point, though, Raleen. Should we remain calm?
I don't think we should remain calm.
I think Mary did a fantastic job of holding it together. But on some level, I was thinking, well, why doesn't she, you know, because I've got all these thoughts in my head and I'm not articulating it nicely. I think part of our problem as Jews and as people who are able to see various aspects of a situation, I think that we often make the mistake of going into a debate or going into a discussion seeking conciliation and seeking to find the middle ground where we can best agree on most of the things and disagree on the little bits that we disagree with. And I'm wondering if that's not a mistake. I'm wondering if Mary shouldn't have said, well, Mr. Zaki Ahmed, where were you during Edenvale when the Edenvale school was anti-Semitic? Where were you when some kids beat up Jewish kids at Rosebank Mall because they were wearing a kippah? Where were you? Where are you during the xenophobic violence that has devastated the country? You know, maybe they should have had to answer that.
And, you know, we're talking about genocides around the world. Where's your voice, Zaki Ahmed, in the genocide in Syria?
Well, that's exactly.
But mark your attention to positive work that Israel is doing in Syria, and Zaki can't handle that. Zaki wants, he never misses an opportunity to attack either the Jewish establishment.
Well, that's what he did.
And he does very cleverly by saying there are some Jews, you know, we have young Jews and we have old Jews who are joining us and standing up. And he never misses an opportunity to bring Israel in and Israel bash. And let me just clarify for those who are listening. Israel was declared a modern state in spite of the Holocaust, not because of the Holocaust. And let's clear that fact up very quickly. Also, what disturbed me is one of the callers phoning in and saying that not one government official has condemned that tweet. And that I found very disturbing.
Well, absolutely. So, and can you imagine if every black person in South Africa was made to justify every event that they might or might not have commented on before we accept their comments on racism? It would be an absurdity. We laugh at something so stupid. But yet the Jewish community is asked to do so. And I think that's blatant anti-Semitism.
It is anti-Semitism. Again, it's the singling out of one group for approbation. And I'm going to say again what is fast becoming my mantra. Open season on Jews is over. And I really want everybody to try and maybe adopt my mantra. We don't have to be nice anymore.
Well, that's my feeling, and I'm moving towards that as well. And not to be disrespectful to people, and certainly not to generalize, and not to do what we accuse them of doing. But really, just to push back a little bit and say, hold on a minute, is that okay? That is not acceptable. The fact that 702 management didn't stop to consider that perhaps you should have had somebody, as you say, from the Holocaust and Genocide Museum or you know, from various other places present, that Zaki Ahmed was the one person that they thought would be best qualified to talk about anti-Semitism. It's actually, I burst out laughing when I heard it, and I thought, oh my word, he's actually being serious.
Yeah, of all the people, and that's why I said that it's
by the way, Raleen, there are 55 million people in South Africa. 55, and that was the one they chose.
Yes.
Quite an interesting. All right, so let's move on to other subjects. The fact that Houston is Texas is having a terrible, terrible time. Israel, I believe, has sent aid. Is this accurate reporting?
Well, can I just commend IsraAid? IsraAid is an incredible NGO that we know is dispatched to areas around the world. Recently, we spoke about their work with the Yazidi woman and the Yazidi genocide, and they have been dispatched to Texas to provide relief and also psychosocial support to the thousands of people who have lost everything in tropical storm or Hurricane Harvey. And Howard, you know, I think all of us, our thoughts and our prayers are with everybody who has been affected by Hurricane Harvey. So IsraAid has provided a two-stage response to the disaster. Right now they are focusing on helping to remove debris and to clean up homes after the flooding, which really has been catastrophic. You know, we've seen the photos coming in. The second part of that is to offer psychosocial trauma counseling, because very often we don't realize just how much trauma or post-traumatic stress people who are affected by natural disasters actually endure and suffer from. And IsraAid has dispatched a team there to deal with trauma counseling as well. Once again, Israel, one of the first on the scene, there to help, because that is what we do.
And on that same note, U.S. Envoy Greenblatt has said that the world should see what Israel is doing to help the Syrians.
World Chief Envoy or Special Envoy Jason Greenblatt has been in Ziv Hospital, which is in Tzfat. And I'm going to quote him directly. He says, "These are the stories of Israel the world needs to hear, and stories like this show how peace in the region can be possible." So he met quite a few survivors or patients. He's heard from them how Israel has helped them. He's seen firsthand. And we know that over 3,500 Syrian wounded have been treated in Israeli hospitals. And Ziv Hospital in the north in Tzfat has been responsible for more than 1,000 of them. And he toured the facility. He spoke with some of the Syrians there. And they say that, you know, thank God for Israel, because Israel is helping them. Israel's not the enemy country that they have been brought up or taught to hate. And it's fast spreading throughout the Syrian community that if you want help, go to the Israelis.
It's interesting. We did speak some weeks ago to the IDF spokesman, and he was giving us some of the insight into how some of the rescue efforts are being carried out in the dead of night, and how most of the Syrians are treated and then by their own on their own wishes returned to Syria. It's quite remarkable to see the extent that Israel is going through to help. And again, getting back to some of the other hypocrisy in the world, I just wonder who else, how many other countries are doing anything to help the shocking plight of the Syrian refugees.
Well, we don't hear very many, but Israel is there.
Indeed. I just want to chat to you briefly about the UCT situation. We did speak to David Efune about it. Just give us a give us a bit of an overview as to what is going on. I'm asking you from the Israel Report to talk about something happening in Cape Town, but it's absolutely relevant because it is all about an academic or a possible academic boycott of Israeli academic institutions.
Well, first of all, academic institutions are supposed to be the great bastions of thought. This is where the marketplace of ideas really has fertile ground and is born. And, you know, from Israel's perspective, you know, breaking off ties with South Africa loses more than Israel loses. But one of the things that we enjoy here, and one of the things that all universities should enjoy, is very, very robust sharing of ideas, discussion, sharing of knowledge. And guess who is involved in trying to instigate a boycott at UCT? Zaki Ahmad,
right?
No. You would be correct.
It's just remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. I mean, it's just the circles just turn and turn and turn, and you wonder why we're cynical.
Absolutely. Along with Stephen Friedman, who recently in the Masuku ruling was discredited as an expert witness. He's not an expert, or he's not the expert on Israel.
Well, it's actually interesting. I wanted to ask you about that. Where was he? Because he's apparently been discredited as a witness with regard to Israel because he shows tremendous bias. Is this true?
This is true. This is in the ruling, and I read the ruling.
Incredible. So, these are the experts who UCT want to rely on, and it's quite unbelievable because there is no doubt that the greatest damage out of everything will be to UCT at the end of the day, because Israeli academic institutions will survive way beyond UCT. They need UCT not one bit. But UCT, once it starts sending this message out to its current Jewish students, its potential Jewish students, and its standing around the world, is going to shoot itself in the foot. It's quite remarkable, and it'll be interesting to see where this actually goes.
Well, what is also remarkable is, should they persist with this ridiculous boycott, which, you know, to me has, you know, while the Shoah is in public consciousness, to me brings up very, very, very painful memories of Jewish academics who were boycotted in Germany at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They stand to lose their partnerships with U.S. universities. Yeah. So it's a lose-lose all round for UCT, because I can guarantee you that Israeli universities, which are amongst the top tier in the world, and American universities will carry on flourishing, and the big loser will be UCT.
Absolutely no doubt in my mind. Finally, the state reverses its decision on same-sex adoption. This is now going to the Knesset for a vote. Tell us about this.
Well, it was put to the social welfare or the welfare and social affairs ministry a couple of weeks ago. They opposed the idea of same-sex couples in Israel adopting children in the country. And a lot of Israel citizens took to the streets. They protested. They voiced their discontent, and the ministry has now reversed its opposition to this bill and have said that this can now go to the Knesset for discussion and for voting. So the reversal was filed to the High Court of Justice in response to a petition which was filed in the court by the Association of Israeli Gay Fathers and the Israel Religious Action Center of the Reform Movement. So a lot of Israelis feeling that this is social justice and this is Israeli democracy at its best.
Absolutely right. 5:26, Rolene Marks there. We're going to have to leave it. You can climb off your soapbox right now, but we hope to have you back on there.
I just drag it around with me, Howard.
You might as well. It just seems a lot simpler. Time is 5:26. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency. We'll chat to Rolene same time, same place tomorrow. Have a fantastic evening, Rolene.